Blessed are they who put their trust in the Lord. Now what? Oh, I thought somebody had something to say. I don't want to interrupt anybody. Since we have Isaiah here, making sure we don't interrupt. Hallelujah. Yes, praise the Lord. Well, it is good to give thanks to the Lord and to praise our God Most High. Amen? And so we praise Him and give Him glory. We are in a brand new year. And I guess I'm going to have to come and see Dorn to remember where I am in this brand new year. In the long run. How's it going? Well, on Wednesday, we didn't have a service. We had weather. And the devotion, if you've read it, just talks about the long run. Talks about the fact that because they have no root in themselves, they only endure for a while. And that actually comes from the parable of the sower. As Isaiah said, we depend on His word. We're planted as an oak tree by the water. And so we have a root in ourselves so that we go for a long time. That has to be it. And as Sue said, the testimony has to be of the past and of the future, which then ties in with telling all to speak of the great things of God. The Old Testament reminds us that they were to talk to their children and each generation of the greatness of God. The problem, I think, for those in the Old Testament was that they kept talking to the children about the great things God had done, but they didn't necessarily have any confidence, hope, or assurance for the great things that God had planned. The only hope that they had was they would say, someday in Jerusalem. Next year in Jerusalem. Someday the Lord will come. Then everything will be good. They didn't have the faith or the confidence or the hope that, or even the awareness that God was still doing great things in their lives. God was still doing amazing things. We know that because there came a time when He said, "What more could I do?" Now, to me, if somebody says, "What more can I do?" it might be an opportunity to do as Sarah pointed out, "You have not because you ask not." Okay, what is it that will put you over the top? What is it that will put you into victory? What is it? Just tell me. See, we need to look at God that way. Not way out there way, but here and now way. Now, we know this. We know this. We've heard this. We've practiced it at times. But we've also looked like we never heard it before at other times. And acted as though we'd never heard it before. And failed to make that determination, I'm in this for the long run. I'm not in this for a long time off. I'm not showing up at the starting line and then sitting on the infield waiting for the race to end and then hoping they will give me the prize. Somebody will suspect it if you cut into that line. If you're at a track meet, you can try though you may to just stand there beside that and then just jump in and cross the finish line, but you'll get caught. We're in this for the long run. Knowing that running with the Lord, His refreshing is every day. His encouraging is every day. His strengthening is every day. That has to be where we are. I have not yet read. All I've read is the title of that Wilkerson letter, Right Song, Wrong Side. Now it makes sense. They sang the right song, but on the wrong side. They sang the song after their deliverance, not before their deliverance, whereas they should have sung it on both sides. Look what the Lord will do. Look what the Lord has done. But so often, we'll maybe say things of faith like, well, I know the Lord's taking care of this. Boy, nothing's going right. But wait a minute. Either the Lord's taking care of it, or nothing's going right. Isn't He taking care of it until we've seen it taken care of? Isn't He in the process while it's going on? We will tell people, I'm working on it. I'm working on it. We will tell people, you know, like, if I go out when it's cold and the car won't start, well, I'll get it started. Sometime. I'm working on it. Confident in it. Wanting it to happen instantaneously. It may happen an instant later, but God's still good. It's a good opportunity. As Bernie last Sunday said, the Lord's been speaking to me, and I think it's for everyone. He said, pray in tongues, pray in tongues, pray in tongues. Oh, and pray in tongues. It's a good thing to do. Because he that speaks in an unknown tongue speaks unto God. It isn't necessary to even know what you're speaking unto God. When God speaks to God, good things happen. But at the same time, you might hear something from God in the midst of that, the interpretation. But these are the things that we must be confident of if we're going to say, I'm in this for the long run. I'm in this to run the race. And I'm not going to miss any of the little stations of sustenance. I'm going to look for it this morning. The reason that I prayed for the opportunities is because the Lord said, ask me for opportunities. And so, not only ask for them, but expect them and be prepared for them. And be prepared to tell all. When the demon-possessed man was delivered, I noticed that Jesus said, now go and tell all that God has done for you. Now, our understanding, having looked at it, is that would be a short testimony. I was all bound up by demons. Jesus came. I'm no longer naked, chained to stones, screaming around. Look at me. I'm all dressed up. I'm ready to go. This is what God has done for me. But Jesus said, tell all the good things God has done for you. So that tells me there's more to the story. Folks, there's more to the story. The sum and substance of the story is God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him would not perish but have everlasting life. Yes. And so you, who, when you believe in Him, you have everlasting life. But what has He done for you? We are in a perfect time, in a perfect position, for the world to see what God can do. More and more people are in despair, in doubt, thinking that we're all washed up. Others seem to be determined to wash us up. Got all of that going on, and so we've got lots and lots of people that are ready to hear all that the Lord can do, has done, will do. People that need to hear, I'm trusting God. Because I know God. Because I've heard God. Because I've seen God. Because God has done this and this and this and this and this for me. He loved me ere I knew Him. In the middle of the night, in the middle of this morning, as I was awakened, our grandson was lying there on the floor and in our room and kind of whining a little bit. And so then I woke up, and so then I'm talking to the Lord, and I'm seeking to the Lord, seeking the Lord, and I'm reminded of the scripture of Jesus telling this man, tell all that I've done. And so I'm thinking about telling all. And suddenly I'm flooded with memories of my life before I was saved. Memories that I know for a fact, without God's intervention, I'd have never got saved. Great things He has done. Great things He has shown me when I didn't know Him and didn't realize He was showing me. And then things that He has done since. There's a lot to tell. And when we tell all that God has done, that's not telling about us, that's telling about Him and what He has done. The confidence that we have in what He has done. And because of what He has done, we know what He can do. So that if somebody says, well, now, it can't be that way, I say, it is that way. When someone told me early on that I couldn't be saved without knowing it, I said, I'm sorry, but I was. God had done something that I didn't know intellectually about. But He had transformed my life. Now, if I had listened to them, then I would have had to go back and find a way, and if I wasn't sure by the time I got to the place where they told me that, how could I be sure if I went back? How could I change what God has already done? Why should I want to change what God has already done? What the Lord does for you, He does for you and for nobody else. But what He's done for you, He may do for somebody else because you sow a seed of what He has done. You see, because when you tell what the Lord has done, it's a seed sown in somebody's life. So think about this. When somebody says, well, the Lord made me sick to get my attention. How many people want that seed? Well, you know, I'm so stupid, the Lord has to hit me over a baseball bat to get my attention. Who wants that seed? Do you suppose people gather that one up and go plant it real quick? Oh boy, I hope that happens to me. How about when we have, this is the confidence we have that when we pray, we know that God hears us. Everyone that God saves did not deserve to be saved. The world needs to know about a God who does not kill but gives life. About one who gives and doesn't take. About one who gives hope to the hopeless. About one who is able to do more than they can ever hope or imagine, and because we know it, because He has already done it. He saved me! I'm so glad that the Lord saved me. That was awesome. That was amazing that He would do such a thing. Just amazing. But what's even more amazing to me sometimes is how He kept me before He saved me. And there are opportunities in our lives to be able to share with people who are not yet saved what the Lord did to us before we were saved. I was where you were. To many, many people I get to say, I was much worse than you've ever thought of being. But God was able. And He did great things. And if He did those things, there's a lot more that He can do if I can trust Him. And so in our telling all, we tell what the Lord has done, we tell what the Lord is doing, and we tell what we believe He will do. Don't be ashamed of the gospel. Don't be afraid to tell all. You're not going beyond the realm of the gospel to say to somebody, listen, God will forgive you. God will heal you. Let's pray. God will deliver you. Let's pray. If they say, well, I don't know, don't pray until they agree with you. If you can't pray in faith, or they can't receive in faith, then you need to take the opportunity to build up their faith. You need to take the opportunity to keep it going. If you ask for prayer, and after you've been prayed for, you begin to doubt, ask for prayer again. Help my unbelief. Because there's no limit to what God can do. There's no limit to what God wants to do. There is no limit. There's no preference with God. He just prefers faith. If you have faith as a mustard seed. You know, as I've been reading in the Gospels, I noticed that there were many times where Jesus actually, it was declared, but mostly by demons, that he was the Son of God. Before the Transfiguration. But there were many times where he even said to his disciples, okay, I'm the Son of God. But they didn't really believe it. Even after Peter said, Thou art the Christ. If you go back and read the Gospels, you'll see that Nathanael, after Jesus saw him under the tree, said, Man, you are the Son of God. And Jesus said, Wow, you believe without seeing? I tell you, you're going to see greater things. Do you want to see greater things? Do you want to experience greater things? And why do you want to experience greater things? You should want to experience greater things that God will be glorified. You're in this for the long run. And it would be nice to see God glorified again and again and again and again and again. He loves when you love Him. He loves when you trust Him. He loves when you give Him an opportunity to be God. Let God be God. And there are times when that's all that we can do. It's what we should always do. But there are times when we have no understanding, we don't even have a thought about Scripture, we don't have anything like that, but we can step back and just say, okay, God, you got to be God. And oh, yeah, pray in tongues. Because there is a manifestation that begins with the telling. When you speak the truth, the seed is planted and begins to grow. Now, when you're telling someone who does not know the Lord, that seed grows up in them, and that's a seed that can grow up to salvation. When you sow a seed into the, quote, atmosphere, when you sow a seed of faith, you begin the manifestation of what you've spoken. He sends forth angels. They are ministering spirits sent forth from God to accomplish what those whom God loves are speaking. That's what the Word of God says. It is true. It is true. It is true. It's not true sometimes. It's not true for some people. It's true all the time for all people. And if you have faith as a mustard seed, the mustard seed plants and it grows up into something that the birds can nest on. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is in you, Jesus said. I mean, he says a lot of cool stuff. And once that seed gets in, if we will not smother it or push it out, but rather say, yeah, yeah, I get it. Now, I have always known that my sins are forgiven. But somehow, from the very beginning of being saved, I knew that all of that stuff was good for something. Not God's plan, so that I would have something to offer people. Not at all. He never wanted me to live like a reprobate. Not once. Never once did he say, ah, good, he's getting worse. One of these days it'll be time to save him. Not once did he do that. Not once was it his plan. You know, sometimes you hear people say, well, God just wanted me to be like this so that I could do this. No, no. God took what you were so he could use you later. But he never planned for you to be ugly and stupid and destructive. Never, 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 never. He planned for you to be perfect. He made you perfect. But he is able to work all those things together to the good of them that love him and that are called according to his purpose. If we will allow that. And so sometimes, you know, and this is all just reminder. This is all just stuff that you already know. But sometimes you will see people that get saved and all of a sudden they act like they never sinned in the first place. So consequently, all of their stupidity goes to waste. Because they won't admit the way that they were. And those who knew them beforehand, what do you think they're going to think? All the people that knew me beforehand, if I did not tell you what I was like before, and they found out who I am now, and you said, oh yes, he's our pastor, he's never done anything wrong, they would say, that's a joke and he's a liar. He has not told you the whole story. Now, I'll guarantee you that 25, 26 years later, you can go, you can find someone who knows something that I never told you. And that would be because they remember it and I don't. But if they did, I would thank them and I would add it to my list of things to give God praise for. And I would take it to them and I would use it to the glory of God. I would say, hey, I heard you saw one of the people from my church and you told them a real good one on me. And man, for the life of me, I never knew about that happening. Thank you so much. And do you know God forgave me for that? And He would forgive you too. You see, because those are all things that we can tell. So we've always got something to say that will give glory to God. We can give Him glory because we're thankful for what He has done. We can tell something that He is doing. We can give assurance by telling what He has promised so that we have the answer. You have the truth. You have the answer for all things. God can handle it. I'm trusting God. Trust God with me. Tell all. Tell people about the goodness of God in the land of the living, the now God. Being prepared at every opportunity to defend the hope that is in us. We have this hope. We have this treasure in an earthen vessel. We've got this confidence that God hears us when we pray, and we can tell all. We can be an encouragement. We can be a light, for we are, the Bible tells us, the light of the world. God never intended for us to struggle for the things of God. He said, in this world you will have tribulation. There will be opportunities to struggle like crazy. But be of great cheer. I've overcome the world. When a struggle approaches, what should we be doing? Be of great cheer. We should be rejoicing. We should be singing the right song before we get to the other side. We should be telling all, God is able. Amen. I am like a tree planted by the waters. I will not be moved. He that is in me is greater than he that is in the world. He that is in me is greater than anything the world can throw at me, come at me with, try to come and take me down with. He's greater. Seriously, my sister-in-law Kathy, we are so proud of her. She has come to this town. She has found favor in her job. She is just doing wonderfully. And she's learning more and more to trust the Lord. She's learning, blessed are they who put their trust in the Lord. Now, she'd heard that. She always knew about that, but I think it's getting in her. She's being transformed. Because God is so good. There are things, there are wonderful things that God is doing in your life. There are wonderful opportunities that God is presenting in your life. Opportunities to not only transform you, but to transform the world around you. And some of them may not look very big. They might be just a little thing. Remember back when I said that we start praising God for the little things. We start seeing the little things that God does. For me, it just began that morning when the little thing, tractor started. Little thing, the snow is mostly moved by the wonderful state highway truck driver that we all know and love. The little things that the Lord can do. This morning, the little things. I did not hurt anyone this morning. I didn't beat anyone this morning. I didn't even yell at anyone this morning. And boy, I tell you what, I had a right and an opportunity on off the time. I am trying to get ready for church with a little kid that needs deliverance. And he knows what he's doing. And, well, bless his little heart. And I'm getting done, and I'm trying to read my Bible with just the most atrocious sound coming out of a train. And I shut off the train, it gets turned back on. I shut off the train, it gets turned back on. I'm trying to finish up the devotion, and we've got three trips coming back in because my little grandson that I love dearly hid things on purpose in the house so that he could send somebody back in. And in the midst of all of this, praise the Lord, I helped, I got it done, I got him out the door, I came back, it was still in my brain, still coming out of my spirit. And then I looked at my watch and I said to myself, you got a shower. You owe it to the people that you love. You gotta shower. I showered, copied two sets of devotions, got my clothes on, and got here in 6 minutes. 6 minutes. Probably could have done it in 5, but the copier can only copy so fast. Little things. To praise God, that's wonderful. It's miraculous. That's no big deal to some people. May not be. But I'll tell all, that's to the glory of God. Because there were opportunities. Opportunities to just shut off the computer, get mad, blame something on somebody. Nah, let's take the opportunity. Let's see. God, you can do this thing. God is able. There's nothing that He's not able to do. There's nothing that He will not do. And there's nothing that we can feel like we would be saying we would going beyond God's ability to do it. So you can tell all from there to there. You can tell all from before time began to after anything that man knows about. And in between, there are those things that you actually know yourself. But you and I have to be built up in our faith to declare the goodness of God in the land of the living. Our confidence in His ability to accomplish more than anybody can believe. I knew things when I was first saved that people that have been saved for a long, long time couldn't comprehend. Because I was simple. And I haven't gotten much smarter when it comes to the things of God. If He says it, why don't we go with that? Why is it that we have bought into this lie that says, well, you know, do everything you can do and then see what God can do? When God says, why don't you let me work and behold the glory of God in the land of the living? Why don't we make that flip-flop and then be ready to tell all? All you got to do is be ready. Opportunities are coming. Just be ready. And lift Him up first. Let's see what God would do. Let's see what God can do. Let's see if we can have more faith than God can fulfill. That's a different way to look at it, isn't it? Because we've been kind of taught that we shouldn't go over the edge. You know, don't try to go too far. Be realistic. Folks, I got news for you. God's not realistic. He's beyond that. It's very realistic for him. But what's realistic for God is unbelievable for us. It's beyond what we can hope or imagine. But he says, just go ahead and try. So let's try to see if we can have more faith than God can fulfill. Rather than first trying to dissect something and see if it's possible that God could do that. Or that God would want to do that. Or has God ever done it before? And why would he do it for me if he's never done it for anybody else? Well, by the time you've gone through all of that, you'll have yourself convinced that, you'll be okay without it. But on the other hand, if we set our hearts to have more faith than God can fulfill, we'll never get it done. We'll never get behind him, but we will go far. We will be in the long run, and we will have a lot to tell. The reason many times that people don't have anything to tell is because they've never asked. And they've never considered that God did it for them. There are many people who are Christians, or at least they would say they're Christians, or I don't even know if they know they're Christians, that are in the same state as the Buddhist man that I spoke to one time, and I said, "Who saved you?" And when he said, "Buddha saved him," I said, "How did he save you?" He didn't know. I know how Jesus saved me. I know how he saved me. He suffered so I wouldn't have to. I'm forgiven. He was forsaken. I'm accepted. He was condemned. Amazing love. How can it be that you, my king, would die for me? But I know it's true. So it's my joy to honor you. Real joy is honoring God. Real joy is giving glory to God. Real joy is beholding the Lord. Real joy is seeing him act upon your faith and then knowing that he's rejoicing as you tell. Look what the Lord has done. Here's what the Lord will do. This is the confidence I have that we pray God will hear us. Boy, oh boy, can we make a difference in this world that we live in if we will just begin to walk? Jesus said, "This is the way. Walk in it." God's positioning satellite is the way to go. Father, in Jesus' name, we submit ourselves to you. We commit ourselves to you, Lord, asking you for opportunities. Opportunities to declare our faith. Opportunities to declare your goodness. Opportunities to declare your actions before they happen and after they've taken place. Opportunities to bring hope to a world that's hopeless and in despair. Opportunities to sow the tiniest seed in a life that is lost, knowing that it will grow up. Opportunities and anticipation, excitement for the opportunities, not, what am I going to do? But, hallelujah, I'm ready for opportunities. Like a hunter in a field, out ready for game, out there ready for the opportunity. In Jesus' name, amen.